We'll have some time of prayer this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Let's begin reading in, let's begin reading in verse 13. And we'll read all the way to verse 24. Okay, the Bible says, "Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." I love that last phrase. Really summarizes very well where our faith should be in God. Now verse 19, "Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oft times also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others." Now verse 23, this is our text. "All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find out?" We're going to be talking about finding your purpose this morning. That's the title of the lesson, Find Your Purpose. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great day, for the blessing of being in your house, Lord, to be with our church family. We look forward to what you're going to do today. And Lord, it is beyond us. Your work is beyond us. We are blessed to know that you use us and that we get to be a part of the great work of spreading the gospel and watching you do miraculous things through the work of the gospel in the hearts of people. And Lord, what you've done in our own life, we praise you for that. But we also understand it's your work, and you're working in ways that are beyond our understanding. And so this morning, give us faith to trust that you're working and that you have a perfect plan and that we can trust you. And so I pray that you'd guide us in your path, give us faith where we're weak. Strengthen us, Lord, please, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Finding your purpose as a title really fits what you would see in the world as a motive. I mean, if you just look around in this world, you'll see that we live in a world full of people who are looking for purpose in life, trying to figure out what this is all about. And along the way, people often get discouraged about that search because they can't figure out why they're here. They can't figure out what their purpose is. You know, they float from this to that, looking for something that satisfies, something that answers that empty question that folks have in their soul. You know, why am I here? Even Christians struggle at times trying to discern purpose, because what we desire, although we know ultimately that we're here to bring glory to God as Christians, and that we desire to do that, but sometimes we fail to see how what God is doing in our life, or how what we desire to see God to do in our life could bring that, not just fulfillment, but the understanding of purpose. You know, Lord, what am I doing? What you want me to do? Am I where you want me to be? And am I serving in the way that I should be serving? You know, and these questions can not cause us to question God, but question whether or not we're fulfilling God's purpose for our life. And so there's a world that's looking for purpose, and sometimes there are Christians who are looking for purpose as well. And so the lesson this morning is really helpful along those lines. I had some things that I wanted to mention that were just some bad ideas. And I noted some bad ideas that I found. And so let me give you a few bad ideas, okay? First of all, one boy threw a stick into the spokes of his sister's bike and she flew off the front of the bike. That was a bad idea. He concluded that. One guy decided to tie the shoes together of a guy that was seated in front of him on the airplane. And that was a bad idea. Somebody declared that spray on hair is a bad idea. I think that I would say amen to that. What do you think, Brother Carlos? Would that work out? I don't know. Somebody declared that Facebook was a bad idea. Somebody say amen to that? I don't know. A few amens. Somebody said self-checkout. That's a bad idea. How many of you go to self-checkout and you always have to have a worker help you anyway? Okay? So you might as well have went to the line. Okay. Somebody said PT Cruisers was a bad idea. You're either on one side of that or the other side. You're like, I like PT Cruisers, you know. Somebody said lighting a firecracker in your hand. That's a bad idea. And finally, I saved the best one for last. One guy handcuffed himself to his friend and then they lost the key. That was a bad idea. So, if we're honest, we all have our own stories we could tell about things that we've done that after, in the aftermath, we would say, you know, that was a bad idea, you know? So, what we need is counsel. We need counsel. Proverbs 19:20 says this, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. We need that wisdom, and we're going to get that wisdom from counsel. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Yeah, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Amen. Many devices. That means we have a lot of ideas. Most of them are bad. In fact, if we're honest, if they didn't come from God, they're all bad. Listening to your own heart is foolish. Look at verse 19 of our text. It says, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. So there's strength that comes from wisdom. There's strength that comes from wise counsel. And it's the counsel of the Lord that causes us to stand. In contrast to that, in that verse, which we studied last time, is man's wisdom. Man's wisdom is like those mighty men. Well, sometimes it's like, not like mighty men, it's just plain foolish. But sometimes the best of man's counsel, we would call it like 10 mighty men, but it's still, it doesn't give us strength. What strengthens us is wisdom. We don't have strength from man's ideas and man's wisdom. And so if we're going to start to lay the foundation of what it's going to take to have purpose in life, then we're going to need to understand we're not going to find it from the wisdom of men. We're going to find it from the wisdom of God. So look what Solomon said in verse 23. He said, all this have I proved by wisdom. And so this isn't a theory that hasn't been tested. Solomon says this is something that's been proved. It's proved. We can trust it. We can have faith in it. You know, and I sometimes I think about teenagers when I'm going through either Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, because teenagers are in that phase of life where there's great development that's happening, and young people are deciding how they're going to make decisions, who they're going to listen to, the path that they're going to be on, and all the things they'll be interested in, whether or not they're going to take counsel from their parents or take counsel from spiritual people in their life, like their pastor or somebody who's guiding them to God. Will they listen to godly music? Will they listen to not godly music? Will they take the advice of people who care for them to say, I'm not going to watch certain things on TV? And you know, you think, okay, well, these are decisions we all make, right? But we're talking about young people who are making decisions now that will put them on a path for the entire rest of their life. And, you know, what college will I go to? You know, what you know, group of people will I make my close friends? You know, all these things will determine, you know, the path that young people will be on. And so when Solomon says, all these things I approved by wisdom, you know, we're talking about something that Solomon says, these aren't theories. These aren't things that, you know, you need to test it out to make sure it works. These are things that are proved. And so you can have faith in something that you've not experienced because it's proved. It's something that you know where it's going to take you. You know, sometimes, again, young people say, well, I'm going to prove it myself. I'm going to test it out myself. And what you'll always find is when you go away from God, you'll always find disappointment. You'll always find that it leads you somewhere you didn't think it would lead you, and it'll take you on a path that you thought you wanted, but you'll find out later you didn't really want that. And you'll look back and regret and wish, you know, I wish I would have made some different choices back in those days. But you don't have to get to that place. If you'll by faith say, you know, I can trust God. I can trust what God says has already been proved. And so this wisdom that will guide you on the right path, finding God's purpose for your life, and knowing that with confidence you're doing just the thing that God wants you to do, and having faith in it is something that Solomon said is proved. But look what he says next. Verse 23, I said, I will be wise. Now, that's something that Solomon had declared that he will do. He said, I will be wise. What's he mean by that? Well, let's first of all talk about Solomon as a man who'd been given wisdom by God. Remember in 1 Kings 4 when God said, well, listen to what it says. In 1 Kings 4:29, just listen, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, and even as the sand which is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. And so Solomon had been given wisdom, wiser than all men. Solomon says in verse 23 of our text, I will be wise. So what he decided is that he would use his wisdom, he would determine with his own wisdom to understand some things. He said, with my wisdom, I'm going to understand some things. Can I put it in a language maybe we would understand? Solomon says, I'm pretty wise, I'll just figure it out. I'll just figure this out. You know, I'm not like you, and I'm not like others. I can figure this out myself. I mean, that's what he's saying. He says, I will be wise. However, no matter how wise you are, there are some things you'll never figure out. Can I hear somebody say amen to that? Yeah. No matter how wise you are, there are some things you'll never figure out. Look at verse number 23, the last phrase. But it was far from me. In fact, look at verse 24. That which is far off. And exceeding deep. Who can find it out? So first of all, Solomon said, it was far from me. The point was that the knowledge of God and the ways of God were behind him. So he would, even if he determined that he was going to figure it out, he was going to gain this understanding using his own wisdom, he couldn't embrace it. He couldn't understand it. The knowledge and understanding of God, here he says, were exceedingly deep. In fact, he said, who can find it out? That is to say, if Solomon in his great wisdom could not understand some of the ways of God, then the question would be this: who could? If Solomon couldn't, then who could? The ways of God are beyond man. You know, consider this. Satan was determined to find out the ways of God. Remember what he said in Isaiah? Turn there with me if you would. Turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse number 12. Look what it says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Look what he said at the end of verse 14. I will be like the Most High. Satan, Lucifer here, said he would be like the Most High. This is the height of pride, to think that you could know how things connect. That you could think that you know why things work the way that things work. One time a guy told me this, sitting in my office, and we were chatting about things. And he said, you know, Pastor, God's given me a gift. I'm wondering what he's going to say now. You're gifted, okay. What's your gift? I can tell people's motives. He said that to me. He said, I know why people do what they do. I know their motives. God's given me that discerning gift. I thought he was kidding. He was being serious. So in other words, you can read minds. You know, unfortunately, he was wrong. Because nobody knows anybody's motives. Amen. Even if you think you know somebody's motives, if somebody says, hey, this is my motives, you still don't even know their motives. You know why? Because we don't know our own motives. Our heart deceives us, and we think we know why we do some of the things we do, but we don't. You say, Pastor, that doesn't even make sense. Let me give you another example. Let's say that there is a young boy who had a rock, okay? 8 years old. He has a rock, and he threw that rock, and it broke a window. And so here we are with this 8-year-old boy who had a rock, and he threw it and it broke a window. And his mom and dad come to him and they say this to him: why did you do that? Why did you throw that rock and break that window? You know, that's the wrong question to ask an 8-year-old boy who had a rock and broke a window. Because you know what the answer to that is? I don't know. 100% of the time. He does not know why he did that. Okay? To him, there's a rock, and he needed to throw it. He honestly, I don't think he can tell you why he needed to throw that rock. He just needed to throw it. Okay? And that's an example of how we are. In life, we think that we know what's best in life, and we think that we can forecast, you know, and we can make our own plans, and things are going to turn out, you know, good, and it's going to be right, and we're going to, you know, everything is going to be, you know, just how we determine. Why? Because we're going to use our, like Solomon said, I'm going to use my wisdom. He says that in, let's see, what verse was it? Verse number 23. I will be wise. We say that. We say, I'm going to be wise, and I'm going to make this choice. I'm going to do these things, and it's going to set me on this path. And here we go. But we're wrong about that. There are some things in our life that we're not going to have direction. We're not going to find the purpose in our life unless we get it from God. He's the only one who can set us on the right path. We, you know, this is really hard to communicate. I don't like to come down here during Sunday school, but I'm doing it anyways. So, we think that we can have God and then still do it our way, and then we're going to be on God's path. But it doesn't, it can't work that way. Why do we do that though? Because of our experience? Because we've lived life for a while? Because we've seen how other people have done it? You know, perhaps young people have watched their mom and dad and they say, well, I'm not going to do that. You know, and so that's their wisdom. To say, well, I've seen how others have done it. I've lived it myself. I have this, you know, all of these things in life that have brought me to this point, and I have this wisdom. And because of that, then what I know is that if I make these choices, then I'm going to be on the right path, and I have God in my life. And we put all those things together, what ends up happening is we have God in our life, yes, but then we still use our wisdom to make choices in life. Solomon is saying, listen, this is a tendency that we have. Solomon said, I will be wise. So I'm going to use my wisdom, and I'm going to choose a path, and that's going to be the path that is going to be the right path. I'm in church, and I read my Bible, and I have God, and it's going to be, you know, this is the way God wants it to go. But that we can't make decisions that way. We can't know how what we have decided is wisdom is going to bring us in the future. We can't know how the decisions that we make will affect each and every thing that happens after that. Amen. Only God knows those things. So what do we need to do? We need to seek Him. We need to fall on our knees and say, Dear Father, what do you have for me to do? We need to humble ourselves and say, God, I need you. Because I can't know my purpose based on my own wisdom. I can't know if I'm on the right path based on my own experiences. Lord, I need you. I saw a truck in town, and on the back of it, it was a big moving truck. On the back of it, it said Grand Canyon University, and it said, Find your purpose. Find your purpose. Proverbs 18:2 says this, A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. They don't desire to listen to gain understanding. From the Lord to know the path that He has for them. The gender confusion that's in the world today. Amen. What is that? People searching for themselves, looking for ways to express themselves, to find meaning and purpose. But where does it lead? Emptiness, meaninglessness.
Amen.
Why? Because purpose can only be found in God.
Amen.
Not in this world and not in man's wisdom. If you're to know your purpose this morning, then you'll only find it from God. Look at Proverbs 2 with me. Go to Proverbs 2. Look at verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou, note these next words, criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Then verse 5, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So he says, cry after it. He says, lift up your voice for it. Seek her as silver, verse 4. Search for her as for hid treasures. Then you'll find it. Sorry, I need a drink here. When I was in college, I sat in a class that taught you how to write sermons. And when I was learning how to write sermons, I was not good at it. And I really wanted to be, though. You know, whenever you've committed yourself, or at least for me, for example, to be a pastor, and I'm in Bible college, and I'm wanting to learn how to be a good preacher, and I'm really not good at it, then I would try to listen to all the things that the preachers that I thought were good preachers, I would try to listen to what they were doing, and then I would try to emulate it. I would try to do what they did. They were really good. And then if I just do that, then it'll make me a really good preacher. I just wanted to be good at it, you know. And my pastor came to me one time and he said he wanted me to preach a sermon on Wednesday night. And I think it might have been one of my first times to do a whole sermon for a church. And I hadn't been going to class very much on how to preach. So I picked out one of my favorite sermons that I had heard a guy preach. And I sat down and I listened to the sermon and I paused it and I wrote the whole sermon out. Everything that he said, I wrote it out. And then I tried to memorize it and just say what he said. I was like, man, his sermon was that good. It's one of my favorites. I'm just going to say what he said. And that did not go good. That was not a good sermon, you know. Because, you know, it wasn't me. It was somebody else. I was trying to do a sermon for somebody else. And I remember sitting in class trying to figure out how to be a good preacher, you know. And we would have practice preaching in this class. And one of the students was doing a sermon, and we all have our little cards, and we're supposed to critique his sermon. And then after he's done preaching, then we would all just say our critiques of his sermon. It was really agonizing, you know. But a friend of mine, he's doing his message, and I have my little critique card. And his sermon was so good that I just forgot that I was critiquing his sermon. It just sucked me into the message. And along the way, he kept saying this in his sermon. It's not about you. And he's preaching along and he's right from the text and he says, oh yeah, it's not about you. And he's preaching along. I think maybe you forgot. It's not about you. Amen. And he gets to the end of it and we're all like, you know what? It's not about me. It's not about me. And then I kept trying to figure out how to be a good preacher. And I've been doing that all the way up until today. Still trying to figure it out, you know? You know, it's ironic that we want to find purpose in life. But if you want to find purpose, the way you'll do that is by realizing it's not about you. It's ironic, isn't it? I want to find purpose in life. Okay, great. It's not about you. When you figure that out, then you'll start figuring out what purpose in life is. I'll start showing you. Remember the disciples? They were arguing with each other about who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus just showed them. But not with his words. And he girded himself, meaning he tucked his outer garment in to his, you know, his inner clothes and knelt down with a wet towel and began to wash their feet. And he said, this is an example of what the greatest is. It's not about you. Kids, you want to find God's purpose for your life? Then learn this great truth. It's not about you. You learn that, then your eyes will begin to be opened for the path that God has for you. The more about you it is, the less about God it'll be. Let me say that one more time. We're almost done. The more about you it is, the less about God it will be. Find your purpose. You have to learn that it's not about you. It's all about Him. Yeah, amen. Let's read our text one more time. We're in Ecclesiastes, and I lost my place there, so let me find it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 19. We'll read to verse 24. And we'll be done. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oft times also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise. But it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find out? Well, there's only one, and it's God. And we'll start hearing from Him and seeing His path and knowing His purpose for our life the more we realize it's not about us. Father, we thank You for the blessing of Your grace. I pray that You would guide us in Your path and give us wisdom and strength where we're weak, Lord. Without You, we can do nothing. We need to learn this great truth. It's not about us. It's all about You. Would You help us to get that great truth this morning? And then, Lord, in the power of Your Spirit working in our hearts, Lord, would You help us to have that confidence for us to know what really matters, please? We'll give You glory for what You do. Thank You for Jesus. It's in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.